Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.
Please join me in reading responsively Psalm 93. The Lord rules. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, clothed with strength. Yes, he set the world firmly in place. It won't be shaken. Your throne is set firm for a very long time. You are eternal. Lord, the floods have raised up. The floods have raised up their voices. The floods raise up a roar. But mightier than the sound of much water, mightier than the sea's waves, mighty on high is the Lord. Your laws are so faithful. Holiness decorates your house, Lord, for all time.
On this Christ the King Sunday, the Revised Common Lectionary gives to us a reading from John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, reading that takes us back to the end of Jesus' life here on earth as he was falsely accused and arrested and stands before Pilate. Reading from John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 33. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate responded, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here." "So you are a king," Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Jesus doesn't want to sit on the step with us today. There we go. Well, did you hear today is Christ the King Sunday? It's a pretty big day in the church, kind of like New Year's Eve, because next week is when we start our new year, and that is Advent. And what do you know about kings? Anything? What do you know about kings? What do kings wear? Big shirts, maybe. Long robes, maybe, yeah. Anything on their heads? What do they wear on their heads? A crown. Usually there's a crown. Sometimes there's more than one. Usually they're full of jewels. Yeah, I have some pictures up there. And how do you become a king? What happens that you become a king? Okay, so sometimes kings did things like stopped a war and then they became. Sometimes they did things that weren't so nice too and then they became the king, right? Sometimes kings are, you have to be born into a certain family to be a king, right? So did Jesus wear a crown like this? What kind? No, he didn't, did he? Did Jesus wear special robes? This is a nice robe, but this isn't a robe like a king would wear. What kind of a crown? I don't know that Jesus wore a crown, but he did have somebody else put a crown on his head. Do you remember what that was? I have a picture of it in the middle, and it's also on this banner right here. Do you see that? It was a crown of thorns. It wasn't very nice to wear. It was very pokey, and if you imagine if it was pokey on your head, and somebody put that on his head to kind of make fun of him, right? Yeah. So how do kings, regular kings, get all their stuff? People give them all that stuff, right? Or they maybe have a war and get their stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And so does Jesus have a lot of stuff? Did he have a lot of stuff? No, he didn't, did he? What does Jesus want from us? To be kind, right? Respect for other people, right? Bless other people, give other people the things that they need, share the things we have with other people. So Jesus was a different kind of king, wasn't he? He wasn't the kind of king that we think of when we think of kings. He was the kind of king who wants to be the king of our hearts, right? He didn't want to be famous. That's a good thought. But he did want people to know about him, didn't he? Does Jesus want us to tell other people about him? He does. And do you know why that is? Not so that Jesus could get riches, but Jesus wants other people to know him so that they can live in heaven with him, that they can know his love and share his love with other people. So we do want him to become famous, don't we? But for a good way, so that we can share that love with other people. You're right. He didn't want to become famous so he could be more important. He wanted to be more famous so that other people could know his love. Right. You're right. So Jesus wants to be the king of our hearts and our lives, and he is the most wonderful kind of king. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us love. Right? And that's pretty awesome. Well, let's thank God for Christ the King and all that that brings. Loving God, we thank you so much for the kind of king who doesn't want gold or power or treasure, but the king who wants our hearts and our love. We thank you for a king who wants to give everything that is good to his people. We thank you for having Christ the King go to the cross for us, each one of us, to wash away our sins. We thank you for the love that you pour out on us each and every day, and we ask that you would help us to make Jesus famous all over, that everyone would know his love and his word, and that they would be able to live with him in heaven. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty, gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What is truth? Words of Pilate. I find it both comforting and also frustrating that we cannot know with any certainty what Pilate meant when he asked this question. We don't know what Pilate truly meant when he asked, "Are you king of the Jews?" We don't truly know what he meant when Pilate replied, "So you are a king." We don't know the tone of his voice. Is that the inflection that he used? Or maybe he said, "So you are a king. So you are a king. So you are a king. So you are a king." Was it a really a question? Was it more of a statement? Was it a little of both? Did Pilate say in frustration and disgust, "What is truth?" You are the truth? What is truth? Or did Pilate say, in acknowledging, with maybe a little bit of a smirk, that Jesus had just provided him with a way out of this political predicament that he had found himself in between the Roman government and the Jewish people? What is truth? Thank you, Jesus. What is truth? We don't know the full extent to the answers of these questions. Commentators, theologians, scholars have provided all sorts of insights, possibilities. But isn't it amazing that still, what is truth? What is truth? Well, maybe we need to look at what truth is not. Truth is not simply that which is believed. Somebody can believe a lie, and it's still a lie. It's not the truth. Truth is not simply what the majority says is true. If I convince a simple majority to go along with a lie, it's still a lie. It's not the truth. Truth is not simply whatever seems to work. That's the philosophy of pragmatism. Lies can appear to work for quite a while. They can even provide some sort of success or perceived success, but yet they're still lies. They're not the truth. They're not what's right. In a culture that's infected with relativism and pluralism, there's no absolute truth in our world. All forms of truth are equal, it appears. The truth of God taking on human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, coming into this world as a helpless child, resisting all temptations, emptying himself of divinity, and willingly being executed on a cross so that you and I and everyone created in the image of God might be able to enter into God's eternal presence. That truth, which it is truth, it's impossible for many to grasp. It's impossible, if we're truly honest with ourselves, for us to grasp its entirety. That truth is not rational. That truth, the truth of Jesus, it's seen by many as a lie. So what is truth? What is this truth that Jesus came into the world to testify? Jesus says, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. My kingdom isn't from here." Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of truth. And truth in John's gospel is a reality. It's God's reality. Which, if you read that opening chapter of John's gospel, it's a reality that just makes us scratch our head and go, let me read that again. What? Truth is God's kingdom here on earth. It's not up to you or me to establish Christ's kingdom here on earth. It's not the role, it's not the duty of any human being, or even that collective set of all human beings as the body of Christ, the church universal, to establish Christ's kingdom on earth. Christ's kingdom, the kingdom of truth, has already been established in part, and we eagerly, actively await with hope the fullness of Christ's kingdom being revealed with the renewal of all creation when Christ returns. It's that already, but not yet. In part, but not fully. Through a veil, we see things. We are to live out the realities of truth. The realities of Christ's kingdom are the things that we're supposed to live out. Truth, as Jesus states it here, isn't so much about determining right versus wrong, but living in a way that we point one another to God and we point ourselves to God. Living out the realities of truth is about living sacrificial lives, like Jesus did when he ate with sinners and tax collectors, when he met with the woman at the well and offered her living water rather than condemnation, when he welcomed the little children when everybody around was saying, "Oh, don't be bothered," when he healed the lame and the blind, when he willingly was executed on the cross, even as he sweat tears of blood and blood poured out of his pores. It's being sacrificial. It's relatively easy for us to claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ when everybody around us is claiming that same thing. That is part of being in a Christian world. And in some ways, maybe we've gotten a little bit too complacent in our faith. It's exciting to claim to be a follower of Jesus when it makes you seem important or to give you some sense of power. There are many clergy that have gone into ministry for that purpose. They found a way that they can use the skills of this world to gain some importance rather than being sacrificial, living out the kingdom. And we all do that in one way or another. I'm not immune to it myself. But what happens when the truth of Christ is in opposition to the popular ways of the world? We encounter that more and more and have to navigate some of these uncertain waters ahead of us. And that is the story of the early church that we can learn much from. That first century church, the first century Christians, they made no attempt to conquer the lies of the world by reacting defensively, blow by blow, debating, using tactics of human origin to prove that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Instead, they fought with weapons that didn't originate from this world. Their weapons were weapons of love, compassion, serving others. They prayed and they proclaimed in word and deed the message of the gospel. They lived out the truth in spite of what was being claimed against them. Martyrs throughout the ages have had to claim the truth of Christ against much louder voices. As a result, these Christians dramatically impacted their world. In the end, they prevailed. In retrospect, when we look back to Rome, is Rome still a world power? Not in that same way. How many of us remember more than just a few names of the great emperors of Rome? For the most part, we don't remember very many. But we remember Jesus Christ. The Roman Empire came and went. Other empires come and go. But Jesus Christ remains. John Calvin wrote, "We see that everything which is earthly and of the world is temporary and soon fades away." He also wrote in his Institutes of the Christian Religion, "The kingdom is spiritual, not material. We must therefore know that the happiness which is promised to us in Christ does not consist in external advantages, such as leading a joyful and tranquil life, abounding in wealth, being secure against all injury, and having an affluence of delights, such as the flesh is wont to long for, but properly belongs to the heavenly life." So what is truth? Truth is more than simply claiming Jesus Christ as Lord and King. Truth is living like Jesus, loving and serving others. Truth is willingness, a willingness to not be in control. Truth is being able to admit that we were wrong. That's called confession, repentance. Truth is letting go of that which gives us power and position and putting our trust in the power of God. Truth is learning to be thankful for all things, to be thankful for each moment that we have, but we don't know what tomorrow brings. Truth is seeing that all that God has entrusted to us as a means to be a blessing for others, not a false sense of security for ourselves. Truth is learning to see Jesus in all of those around us, not just the people that are like us. To see Jesus in the outcast, the marginalized of society. To see Jesus in the person who believes the opposite of me. To see Jesus even in the eyes of my enemy. To trust that Jesus is King and has power over all. To see Jesus in the person who's hurt us in one way or another. That's truth. Truth is allowing that unconditional love of God which has been given to us in the power of the cross to not simply be contained in our hearts and to say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, but to allow that to then flow through us in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be shown to all those that God places in our path, even those that we may not like. We still need to learn to love them as Christ loves us. Truth is more than determining right over wrong. Truth is about living like Jesus. May we follow the call and the command of Jesus Christ and commit our lives to the truth of the kingdom. May the truth of Jesus Christ be evident in all that we say and do to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.